You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, what is going on, man?
DJ, you know what it is. I mean, whenever we get to the Final Four and we get into the Super Bowl, it is always a time to reflect and review on how these teams were built, what decisions they made that maybe we can pull from to establish blueprints for others to follow to build championship teams. And so today is a great day to look at the Kansas City Chiefs, to look at the San Francisco 49ers, to see the moves that they made, to put them in a position to potentially hoist the Lombardi Trophy at the end of Super Bowl 58.
No doubt. I always enjoy this when we get a chance to look at it. And, you know, I feel like we do the Chiefs every year. Oh, yeah, because they're in the Super Bowl almost every stinking year.
It's so crazy.
So they've done a phenomenal job. And different iterations, different versions of those teams. And we can kind of jump right in and start right there with this Chiefs team. I'm going to go over the let's start with the draft. So these are the starters in the AFC Championship game that were drafted by the Chiefs. Okay, we'll go back to the veteran, which would be Travis Kelce. He was, man, my eyes are really bad here. He was a third round pick in 2013. Then you end up having 2016. You've got Chris Jones, a second round pick. Patrick Mahomes in 17 was obviously the first round pick. You've got Allegretti, who ended up filling in and starting. He was in 2019. He was a seventh round pick. You get to 2020. Legarius Sneed was a fourth. Mike Dana, DT, defensive end, was a fifth. You've got 22. Sorry, 21. You get to Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey, both second-round picks. What a second round. Then Trey Smith, you know, was an unbelievable sixth-round pick because, you know, teams were worried about him medically. Then 22, how about this draft with all the picks in the Tyreek Hill trade? Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, those were their first-round picks. They come back with Leo Chenal, linebacker, in the third. They get Pacheco in the seventh. That was a heck of a draft. And then 23, this last year, rookies, you've got Rashee Rice, who's really taken off. So what stands out to you about how they've drafted and what they've done? That is a lot of homegrown players that are starting for them.
Yeah, a lot of homegrown players. And DJ, the first thing that I would say is we've talked about this as old school scouts. You want to nail your first, second, and third round picks. Those guys are the guys that really formed the nucleus. So I go back and I look at Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Pat Mahomes, Bolton, Creed Humphrey, McDuffie, Karlaftis, Chenal, and Rashee Rice all fall into that category, right? So what that tells me over the last few years, they haven't really done a lot of missing up top. Yeah, there are a handful of names that aren't including that were drafted in the first, second, or third round. But for the most part, their nucleus is exactly where their nucleus should be from, the top of the draft. So they spend their time doing their homework, making sure that, hey, man, keep the main thing the main thing. At a time where some guys get cute and creative and try and spend a lot of their time on the lower round picks, they've really been nailing the top picks. And that's one of the reasons why their nucleus and their foundation is really in place.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. And to me, the second round, man, is there anything better than the second round? I love the second round because I feel obviously they're cheap, you know, compared to what you pay for a first round pick. So the cost savings is nice. You don't get the fifth year. You only get the 4 years on the contract. But like the Chris Joneses, the Creed Humphreys, the Nick Boltons of the world, the Rashee Rices, like, man, it to me, I'm kind of waiting for the team that's going to say, you know what? I'm going to trade back every year and I'm going to try and have, I want every year to have 2 to 3 second round picks. The batting average is very high. You've got a high batting average. It's a low cost. It just seems like, man, I always feel like second round, there's so many good players there every year.
Well, part of the reason there's so many players there is we say it all the time. Just because the draft has 32 picks per round and 32 picks in the first round doesn't mean that the first round is loaded with 32 first round rated players. And if there is a huge net to cast between, I would say, picks 20 and 50, if you have multiple picks in the second round, it gives you an opportunity to get a player that might be a first round talent that just kind of slid through the cracks because everyone grades differently. If you know what you're doing, if you have a clear identity, we've talked about this on other podcasts, teams that know who they are. If you have a clear identity and know exactly what fits your program, you absolutely can clean up in the second round and the second and third rounds in particular.
So I'm going to do a project. I'm going to give this to our buddy Jack, who is he's an animal in research. So it just got me thinking. We're going to do a study on 40s versus 20s. I'd be curious to know if we looked at the 20s picks 21 to 30, and the 40s picks 41 through 50. What's the difference? Like,
yeah,
I'm curious to see what that looks like, man. So it's almost like, hey, so let's see what the difference is there. Because I feel like a lot of drafts were like, man, when you get to pick 18, 22, like, I don't really I have the same grade on him as I have on the guy that's my 48th, 50th player.
So, DJ, I can't remember years ago when I was in Carolina, there was a study that came out where they found that. That there really wasn't a huge difference between first rounders and second rounders. And so the smart teams would accumulate multiple second and third round picks because, as they would say, the value between the number one guy on the board is not substantially better than the guy that's number two, three, or four on the board. It is rare that it's a huge jump between the top rated player at the position versus a guy that ranks second, third, or fourth. And the smart teams would realize that, look, it's such a minor difference. We're better off getting multiple picks, having multiple lottery tickets to see if we can hit on 2, 3, and 4, as opposed to saying that number one is going to be a superstar at the position.
Yeah, I'm guessing if we probably look at it, there's a difference between the top 12, top 15 hit rates. You know, it's a pretty significant difference between that and then we're talking about pick, 35 to 50. But I'm curious if 20 to 25 is any different than, 40 to 45.
That's because the bottom of the first round. Because remember, when everyone talks about the bottom of the first round, in theory, yes, they're first rounders. But grade-wise and talent-wise, a lot of times they're not graded as a first-round talent.
No doubt. They do not have an undrafted free agent that started in the championship game. So that we can skip over that process and we can get to the free agents. So for the Kansas City Chiefs, free agent starters in the conference championship game, you've got Justin Reed. Three of these guys came in the same year in 22. You've got Justin Reed. You've got Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You've got Justin Watson. So two wide receivers and Justin Reed. Those are free agents in the 22 class. This last year, a bunch of them. Juwan Taylor, Donovan Smith, Mike Pinnell, Drew Tranquil, Mike Edwards. So is there any connective tissue when you go through those names and see that the success they've had finding starters there in the free agent world?
Okay, so what we've talked about is when we're building the teams, it's kind of around the P's, right? It's kind of for them. It's a pass. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have playmakers. That typically tends to be the wide receivers. You got to have pass protection. And so those are the offensive tackles. And then you got to have pass rushers. So when I'm looking at the Chiefs, their pass catchers have come in free agency, right? MVS, Justin Watson, those guys qualify. Both of their edge protectors were acquired in free agency, Juwan Taylor, Donovan Smith. Really outside of that, DJ, they've gone to the draft and found the other positions that they needed. A lot of times we always talk about the teams that are draft and develop teams. They draft for the core of their team, but then they go to free agency to kind of plug the holes. The Kansas City Chiefs plugged the holes in free agency based on what they were not able to get done in the draft. To me, it's just a very solid and effective team building strategy. It's not tilted heavily in one direction. It's we will utilize every vehicle to put ourselves in a position to field a championship caliber team.
I think it's interesting when you look at, both the tackles, both the offensive tackles who have come under criticism because they haven't played great this year, but they're good enough that they're in the Super Bowl with them there. And it's interesting to me that they have taken their resources and put them in the interior of the offensive line. When you think about, you know, Creed Humphrey being a being a second round pick, you think about Joe Tooney getting the big money coming over in free agency. And then obviously they're going to end up, I mean, they're going to end up paying their interior guys because that's where, you know, that's where their elite level talent is. So Trey Smith being the other guard, who's going to get huge money.
Hey,
I think they, and I think most quarterbacks now would probably say that, get, you know, man, just give me an elite interior. I can get away. Patrick Mahomes can get away from the edge rush.
So we talk about building a fortress in front of the quarterback. For years, it was the edges and those guys, like, keep them away. I'll step in the pocket. But we found that if you have penetration and you are a quarterback, man, if you have penetration right up the gut, it is hard to do anything. You can't step into your throws like the guys in your lap. It is more difficult. Maybe the Kansas City Chiefs have kind of figured out something. Look, they're zigging when others are zagging. Let's make sure that we're great on the interior. We'll find a way to get it done with maybe lesser on the edges, but we're really good up front that it won't even matter because Pat Mahomes can get the ball out of his hands before those guys on the edge can get home.
No doubt. On the trade front, you've got Kadarius Toney, you know, helped last year. I mean, golly, he was good in the postseason last year. Mecole Hardman comes back this year from the Jets, and then Neil Farrell, defensive end. So I don't know that they've got ton of impact this year off of those trade guys.
No, but let me ask you something, because this Brett Veach, Andy Reid, you know those guys. Well, you work for Andy, you know Veach, whatever. Before we even talk about it, like, where does their relationship and that connection, how does that impact the way the Chiefs have been able to build their team?
They're very, very close and have known each other for a very long time. They have a great working relationship. And the thing about Andy is, Andy, if you just tell Andy, hey, this guy can only do this thing, you know, he's just a speed vertical receiver. He's not going to be able to run the route tree. You're not going to want him working in the middle of the field. Andy is not only a great play caller, play designer, and creative, but Andy knows how to show your strengths and hide your weaknesses and not put you in a place where you're going to look bad. He gets the best out of people. So I think that just kind of, you're not going to be in a situation once you've paid the quarterback and you're picking, you know, 31st or 32nd every year in the draft, you're going to have to, there's going to have to be some imperfect players. They're going to have to play key roles for you. And I think that communication and understanding of the honesty of, like, hey, Andy, this guy's not complete, but he can do this one thing really well. And Andy's like, I can work with that. I'll feature that. I'll hide the weaknesses. And that's a huge, huge thing between those two guys.
Yeah, there's genius in that, like being able to kind of like minimize a player's strengths, a player's weaknesses, whilst finding a way to extenuate his strengths. There's something to that. That's called coaching. And we've talked about it, and we'll continue to talk about it, like the alignment between the guy who's in charge of talent acquisition and the guy who's responsible for developing the talent. Those guys have to be in lockstep. And what you're seeing is Veach and Andy Reid are very connected. And because of their connectivity, they ever have a lot of success.
Can I give you the underrated ingredient that people don't talk about when they talk about these Kansas City Chiefs? You can look at, Andy gets the credit, Mahomes gets the credit, Veach gets the credit. I can just tell you the secret sauce for this Kansas City Chiefs team is energy. Watch them. Watch any Andy Reid team. Andy said this, you know, our buddy John Gordon wrote a book on it, you know, on the energy bus and how you don't want energy vampires. Andy used to say, well, you know, I remember being in the building back in like 11 and 12 and he was like, look, everybody we bring in here either brings energy or takes energy. Like, they either bring energy or they suck energy. And you watch the Chiefs play, just think about it through that lens. Watch the energy that Isaiah Pacheco runs with and plays with. Watch Patrick Mahomes and the juice that he brings when he's mic'd up. Listen to what he's saying. Look at Kelsey, who's going to be arguably the greatest tight end in history. But look at the energy and the passion he brings to that group. Like, Chris Jones, people don't realize, is big energy, like high energy. I mean, they've got dudes that is an energetic bunch, man. And I think that's like something that we talk about talent, we talk about quarterback. That is a secret sauce there for that team.
That is funny. You know, going all the way back to my time with Green Bay, and Andy Reid was the tight ends coach first, but he would kind of coach me. I was on the scout team. But it was always about, hey, man, I need juice. I need plenty of juice. Hey, got to give him a look. Need juice. Need you guys running around. Need you buzzing around. Need you flying. Don't walk in between the things. Like, he was always big on that part of it. And there is something to it, whether you fake it till you make it, whatever. But I need that enthusiasm because it is infectious. And when your best players bring that, man, the rest of the team is forced to kind of come with that. I think the unique thing about Andy, not only did you say Andy can deal with like an imperfect player, he can deal with different personalities. You can bring him different personalities and he can get them to kind of be themselves while fitting in to the team. I think that also is an underrated piece. They're not all robots that come into Kansas City. He finds a way to take guys that have different personalities and kind of fit them into the puzzle without them disrupting the entire puzzle. That's a talent.
Yeah. Think about the previous teams with Tyreek Hill, how much energy he brought, juice he brought. Think about Deshaun Jackson, you know. Think about Shady McCoy, you know, Donovan McNabb. Like, you go through, it's a theme. Andy's always had energy dudes, man.
Yeah, a lot of different guys. They're passionate about it. And he didn't mind their personality kind of showing through in their play.
Yeah, he lets you be yourself.
That's unique, man. It's unique to find someone who is able to do that, but still have a disciplined and detailed team. To me, that's the trick. He has a disciplined and detailed team that still is allowed to kind of be themselves and do their thing.
Yeah, go back to T.O. Being there, man. Yeah. I know it was a little rocky at times, but they had some success there as well. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We will jump into the 49ers and how they were built right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Buck, let's jump right in. I'm going to go through the draftable guys here again. These are guys that started for them in the NFC Championship game and homegrown players, again, like the Chiefs, a bunch of them. Let's go all the way back to 2015. Eric Armstead was a one. George Kittle was in 17 as a fifth-round pick. Fred Warner, third-round pick, he was in 18. In 19, Nick Bosa, one. Debo Samuel, a two. Dre Greenlaw, five. 2020, Ayuk was a one. You've got McKivitz was a five. 21, you got three starters. You got Aaron Banks, a guard, as a two. Ambry Thomas is a three as a corner. Lenore, another corner slash safety. He could play anywhere. He was a fifth. I should say just a corner there. I saw S, but that was F5, my bad. And then you have Brock Purdy, who's a 7 and 22, Mr. Irrelevant. And then this last year, Jair Brown, who's had to fill in for Hufanga. He was a third round pick. So the thing, just real quick, and I'll kick it over to you, is the foundation was built and they were able to re-sign, you know, Armstead, Kittle, Warner, Bosa, Debo, Greenlaw. Like that was the foundation for these guys, and they've been key and kind of taken this new group of all these new players forward. But they have a nucleus there that's been there for a minute.
Yeah, nucleus has been there for a minute. When you go back and you talk about guys and drafted in 2015, 2017, 2018, that's a lifetime in the National Football League, especially when you talk about a career playing span is about 4 years, if that. they've done a really good job of being able to draft, develop, and resign their own players. When I look for common denominators, look, there was a time where all of their guys up front were first round picks. They were drafted. Like they didn't mind committing big money, big draft capital to fill in those gaps because they were a line of scrimmage team. And they've continued to do that. I think what would be interesting when we get to the other vehicles of team building, that to me is where they really crushed it. Free agency and the trade market. In those areas, I believe they've come up with plenty of gold.
All right. So let me just to put a bow on the draft stuff. I talked about those foundational guys. I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The most veteran draft picks of theirs, the six guys. So they've been there. Now I would say this is the culture. This is the culture established here, starting with Armstead, Kittle, Warner, Bosa, Debo, Greenlaw. All those dudes, physical mm-hmm. players, regardless of position. And that is where the identity of this team was formed right there.
Yeah, physicality and toughness. They don't blink on that. When you talk to coaches that have been there, they believe in playing the game a certain way. That has kind of been established. Kyle Shanahan wants a tough, physical team, and they've gotten that. And the players that they bring in fit that style. So hats off to them in terms of just making sure that the players that you're bringing in really, really fit the identity of the culture and the team.
Yep, no doubt. You mentioned the other avenues here. No undrafted free agent starters, which is kind of interesting for either of these teams. Mm-hmm. Not having an undrafted free agent starter, usually have one or two of those. But you mentioned it. Free agency or waivers. You've got Juszczyk. That was in 17. You've got Jake Brendel, the center, in 20. Mm-hmm. You've got, how about this one, Wicharius Ward in 22. Mm-hmm. And Tashawn Gibson in that same class. You get a corner and a safety. And then this last year, they spent big money on Hargrave, which I would say is courtesy of Brock Purdy being the starting quarterback, using that savings mm-hmm. to go spend some cash on Hargrave and then John Feliciano as well. So those two guys just came in the last offseason. And if we let's hit on those guys first, and then we'll get to the trades, because the trades is kind of a sexy group here.
Yeah, very sexy group when it comes to the trade market. DJ, I would say this. In free agency, we talked about plugging holes. But not only plugging holes, but if you can, in free agency, you want to get some stars. You want to get some guys that can kind of change the equation for your team. I go back and I look at the players that are playing for the Niners that have star power. Chidarius Ward has kind of turned into a star player on the island. Javon Hargrave, we know he's a star player at the point of attack. Kyle Juszczyk stars in his role as a fullback that can do multiple things along the front. Those guys have all hit. And we talk about if this was, we're building the ultimate cupcake, right? The cake part of it should be through the draft. But the icing and the sprinkles, that can come in other areas. And I think they've added icing to the cake by being able to be really good and really effective, identifying free agents that fit what they need and being able to put them in a situation to elevate the team and push the team over the top.
And I would add that, again, from the identity, when you bring in a Juszczyk and a Hargrave and then Ward, those guys all coming from good organizations that have an identity mm-hmm. themselves, physical players. So they've been able to tap into their kind of their core of who they are.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's get to the trades here. There's not many of them, but they are big time. Mm. Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, and then most recently, Chase Young. So those are the guys they traded for, and you could say they've traded for the best left tackle and the best running back in the NFL.
You absolutely can, and it kind of fits the P's, right? Pass protector, playmaker, pass rusher. They got them all. Mm-hmm. They identified a need. They're unafraid of making deals to upgrade talent at marquee positions. Trent Williams is the best tackle in football. They got him, man. They took their game up. And remember, he was coming off a troubled time in Washington where he and the coaching couldn't get along, couldn't get a new contract. They plucked him. And look, where would we do it? You think about the Carolina Panthers basically auctioning off Christian McCaffrey. Coming off a couple of injuries and those things, people worried about his durability. DJ, he's been terrific for them. So they made some gambles on the trade market. And Chase Young, I got a chance to see him immediately after the trade. They came to Jacksonville. He played, gave them some juice, did a little something, continued to fortify what they like up front because they like to have premier talent at the line of scrimmage. He's done that. People look at the sack production and say, no, I will say this. He's a different player for the Niners than he was at the end of his Commanders tenure. It'd be interesting to see if he comes back, but they're not afraid of taking big swings at players that can really help them and fill a huge void at a marquee spot.
Yeah, I think they're, in terms of taking on the salaries too, with Trent and with McCaffrey, like you could say, okay, there's some risk there with both those guys who have, Trent Williams is not super young. Christian McCaffrey playing that position and having been beat up a little bit, you could say, okay, there's some risk there with those guys. Trent Williams had an injury as well. So they aren't afraid. They don't play scared with how they play the game, how they coach the game. I don't think from a personnel standpoint, mm-hmm. I don't think they were scared. Look, Trey Lance thing was a big swing. It didn't work mm-hmm. out. But they acknowledged it. They traded him. They moved on. But I don't think you'll see them shy away from the next big opportunity that presents themselves. They're not scared.
No, they're not scared. And to do that, you got to have an owner who isn't afraid, who understands mm-hmm. all of that. And in the past, I've heard Jerry York talk about without Brock Purdy's deal, they wouldn't have been able to get a Javon Hargrave and those mm-hmm. things. And he talked about the collective salaries of the quarterback room being at a reasonable number where they're okay with that. It's okay that we had to do all the stuff that we had to do with Trey Lance to get him. Didn't work out, but we still got our franchise quarterback. And when you're talking about the most important position in football, I mean, you got to throw all the darts. You throw all the darts until you find one. And if you hit on one, no one cares about all the stuff that you spent to get one. So no one really gets on them about what it cost them to get Trey Lance because Brock Purdy was in the fold. Do whatever you got to do to get a quarterback. And once you get that, it works out. And so the Niners have been able to do that. But in doing that, it allowed them to really upgrade the rest of the roster because they have a quarterback, a young quarterback on a cheap rookie deal. That even beyond cheap that we talk about in terms of first round quarterback, a cheap peanuts deal that Brock Purdy's on that's allowed them to really go and upgrade the roster in other ways.
Man, I also would say in kind of wrapping this up and closing this out, what a benefit when you have alignment and the connection. We talked about Brett Veach and having that alignment connection with Andy Reid. Then you go back to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in a relationship that goes way beyond when they started working together. They see the game the same way. Mm-hmm. It makes scouting easier. You can go out and find guys that fit, and there's no adjustment needed. So that's a great example to the rest of the league, man. Everyone wants to fire everybody after the first little bit of adversity. There is a great reward in this league if you have continuity, and I think there's a pretty good example of that here with these two teams, Buck.
Yeah, the continuity, the synergy is everything. Being in lockstep. And it doesn't mean that you don't disagree, but it means from a philosophical standpoint, there's a way that the team must be constructed. And you guys believe in that. And that shared philosophy, that shared belief is critical to being able to be successful over over time.
No doubt. All right. Well, that was it today. Again, that was a little bit of a quick one as we went into how those teams were built. We will have a little bit more of a Super Bowl preview coming up later in the week. So be on the lookout for that. And we will see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.